thankful for the opportunity to be here with you tonight. Do ask an interest in your prayers. Pray the Lord would bless what goes before. He bless us to be able to speak just a few words in His name. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 14. Before I start reading, I'd like to thank the church for the prayers that went up on behalf of my daughter, Mackenzie. Brother Philip was asking me before service tonight. I don't know if we've given a report. Her allergy test came back, and they were able to determine what it was that was causing her a problem. Not too terribly bad. I think it's something she'll be able to live with, no problem. So she's doing real good. And just like to comment, it's been a while since I've been in the pulpit, but I see someone here at the church loves Brother Philip because they've added this fan up here in the pulpit. No doubt somebody cares about this young man. Had the same concern I've had on several occasions. I'm worried about him melting down some nights. He gets up here and gets to preaching so hard. Good to see the brethren express love for one another. In Luke chapter 14, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ speaking in verse 16, He says, "A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." This is a very familiar portion of Scripture, and there's a parallel passage in Matthew chapter 22 that I have recently tried to speak upon. And in this passage, our Lord and Savior is teaching what I trust that we have here tonight, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God that He has blessed us to have and to enjoy and to come in and to feast upon the things in which He'd have His people to taste of that supper. And in this passage of Scripture, he talks about the gospel kingdom that was presented to the Jews and their refusal to enter into it. And then we have the gospel kingdom, the preaching of the gospel going out to the Gentiles and the Gentiles entering into the kingdom of God. But I'd like to take notice there of when those that were bidden to come, you know, they made excuses. And when the servant came and showed it to his Lord, which is certainly we can see God the Father as being the Lord in this passage. The master of the house being angry when those that were bidden made light of the invitation to come into the kingdom. You know, if I were to come in tonight and I would have maybe told your pastor, I'd have said, Brother Philip, you know, after church tonight, I'd like you to come to supper with me. I got 2 frozen pizzas at the house. And you come home with me for supper and we'll pull those frozen pizzas out and I'll pop them in the oven and we'll have supper together. You know, if Brother Philip was to decline my invitation, I wouldn't be too mad about that. I wouldn't be too torqued off. I mean, it's not like I'd gone through a great deal of effort to get a couple of frozen pizzas, you know. I mean, that's not really putting myself out, so to speak. And I suppose maybe it would hurt my feelings, but I'd probably be over it by the time I got out of the parking lot. But suppose one of you sisters had gone through the trouble and the effort. Maybe you knew there was a special occasion coming up and you had asked Brother Philip over to your house, you know, 6 months in advance. You knew he was having a birthday or maybe a special anniversary or something of that sort. And you've gone through a great deal of trouble and you had, you know, figured out what it was that he likes and what he doesn't like and what he needs and maybe spent 2 days slaving over a hot stove and had cooked a big, 10-course meal or whatever it is, and had all his favorites there. And then you show up tonight, and he's supposed to come to dinner tonight, and he makes light of it. And he's got a lame excuse. If you were in that position, what kind of feelings do you think you would have about that? You think you'd have a right to be a little more mad maybe than I would be over the frozen pieces? I mean, I would say you would. I'd say you have a justifiable case and maybe hold a grudge, right? Well, and I tried to be kind to Brother Philip not too long ago. His wife was out of town, and we invited him over for dinner one night, and I didn't do a very good job. As a matter of fact, I think I'd heard him preach before about his three foods that he just absolutely despises. But lo and behold, we had one of those foods that he just really didn't care for, fresh squash. Who doesn't like fresh squash? And even though Brother Philip's reputation is that he'll eat anything that doesn't eat him, let me tell you, there's certain things that he just doesn't like. And I even found out one that he had never told me he didn't like. I didn't feel too bad about that one, but he doesn't like coconut pie either. Just in case you ever had him over, he doesn't like coconut pie. But just putting in a plug for you there. But if you had gone through all that trouble and all that effort, and then he was to make light of it, I would say you have a good reason to be mad. Think about our Lord, the effort that He has gone through to prepare to suffer. When He makes a statement there that a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, "Come, for all things are now ready." Think about the amount of forethought and planning, the wisdom of the eternal, all-powerful God that went into the planning and the preparation of this supper. It wasn't a spur-of-the-moment, couple of pieces in the freezer kind of deal, was it? It wasn't even a six-month ordeal where He went through a great deal of painstaking planning. God the Father knew us, knew His people in love before the foundation of this world, before He ever spoke the earth or the heavens into existence. He knew each and every one of His people. And He prepared this great supper. He made all the plans and all the preparations, everything that was sufficient and needed for His people to spend eternity in glory. And He spared not even His own Son. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, was not spared. There was no trouble, no expense spared in the preparation of this supper. And then for this is the Jews in this parable making light on this occasion. But we as God's people, we as Gentiles, I know I have made excuses for not serving my Lord as I ought. Clearly, the teaching of the parable is teaching discipleship, teaching following God in service here in this life. Christ says in verse 27, "Whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And in verse 33, He says, "So likewise, whoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." When you think back over the last week, have there been days where maybe you have not forsaken all to follow Christ, to serve God in the manner in which maybe the Spirit of God was leading you to? Have you made excuse? When we read this list of excuses, it's easy for us to say, those are some pretty lame excuses. Those are pretty lame excuses. I've got way better excuses than those. I got way better excuses for not following the Lord in the manner in which He's called me to. I've got way better excuses for not trusting in God, for not believing in God, for not believing that He'll equip me and that I can be strong in the Lord and courageous in following Him in the manner in which He's impressed upon me that I should follow. A lot of times we talk about following the Lord in baptismal obedience, and certainly if the Lord's put that upon your heart, that's something that you ought to do. You should not delay. You should not question. You should not be unbelieving and stubborn. You should trust in the Lord and do that. For there's no excuse for not doing that, is there? Is there any good excuse for not doing that? There's none. The Lord says, forsake all. I don't care what excuse you think you've got, it won't stand up when you picture our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ hanging on that cross, the eternal Son of God giving His life so that you would be able to inhabit eternal glory one day. There's no excuse that holds up. But there's a lot more to serving God and to being a disciple of Christ than just joining the church. Now, that's the beginning. But it's an everyday struggle. It's an everyday battle, is it not? You know, the Lord calls us to do a lot more here in this world, here in His kingdom, than simply to come forward and ask for a home in the church and follow Him in baptism. Have you served Him in the manner in which He's calling you to? Have you served Him in a way that brings God glory this week? I hope that you have. I hope that you have, because we have no good excuse not to. And it displeases God when we don't. You know, a lot of the world, they teach God to be a loving Father that's almost like a doormat. You know, He's just a loving God. We can trample all over His mercies. And just when we feel like we have time for Him, whenever we want to make a little corner in our life, He's there waiting. He's merciful. He's loving. He's just also patient with us. And all those things are true. Those are attributes of God. He is very long-suffering. But God also gets angry, folks. It displeases God when we don't show Him the proper reverence that we ought to. He is certainly deserving and worthy of our best efforts, is He not? I don't always give Him my best efforts. I freely confess that. I pray the Lord will forgive me of that and to strengthen me and help me to trust in Him as I ought and to strive to do better in the days that lie ahead. I appreciate your kind attention.